Hey guys, we have joining with us from the Batman versus James Bond podcast, a super popular show that is fantastic. We've listened to a bunch of episodes recently. Anyone that thinks they know anything about Batman or anything about James Bond, you don't, because I used to until I started listening to this gentleman's show, and it's a lot of fun and a lot of knowledge. That's what I got off of listening to a couple of episodes earlier this week. We have Brian. He is the host and creator of the Batman versus James Bond show. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good. You say Brian or Batman? Because I have one question. Where were the drugs going?
That was impressive.
That was probably, yeah, pretty good.
That was I tried. Much better I tried. Than
Hi, everybody. This is Brian, you know, the boring host of the Batman versus James Bond show. How is everybody?
Great.
Scared.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I have other friends here. But they might just pop, you know, back and forth. It depends, you know.
Can I get a Rachel out of you in that voice?
Rachel!
There you go.
That's fantastic.
Nice!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
We're going to have to get like 10 commercials done by you now, Brian.
It actually kind of reminds me because I need to do some new drops, so I might have to add, you know, Batman. I tried doing Lego Batman. That's not as easy as it looks, but, I mean, Sean Connery might just have to drop by and, you know, for a martini and then put Moneypenny over his knee and slap her, you know, just like they used to in the old days. But that's the 60s, man. That's how we should do it.
Nice.
Fantastic.
So how are you guys?
Doing well. I want to do my Connery also, but my Connery is also Indiana. It's always from Indiana Jones. I can never do the Bond Connery, so.
You got Last Crusade Connery.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mine's always the Jeopardy one. The day is mine, Trebek. I'll take the rapist for 400.
Okay, let's try and make sense of something.
Okay.
Why?
So, number one, congrats, Brian. You just hit 2,000 followers on Twitter. That's a momentous occasion.
Thank you. Yeah, we were talking about it on, like, the pre-show about how it's become a thing for podcasters. I mean, just to, like, you sorry about my dogs in the background. It's for podcasters. It's like you follow them, they follow you, and you retweet. It just becomes a thing, and then you use the right hashtags. Like you guys said, use crossover. And one, I'm going to start trying, by the way, and just people just start, you know, they just randomly appear and then followers get stolen, you know, and it works. It works out for everybody. But I'm excited about it, you know, so I'm like, hey, this is turning into something more than I could have ever hoped. So
that's awesome. We're getting there. We're about to hit a milestone as soon as we reach one of our weights. Which we're only at 145, so it's not anywhere near any of our actual weight.
We're going to need to get close to double if we want to hit Craig's weight.
So, it might be easier just for us to lose weight.
Right, that's the goal. Yeah.
Oh no, it's it definitely took a lot of you know, late night tweets and followers. Like I said, you just have to follow and follow and follow, and somehow it just, you know, just make sure you're not following anything shady, but yeah, or any spam related.
Yes. So you have a Facebook page as well?
I do. It is facebook.com/TheBatmanVsJamesBondShow. Instagram at Batman versus Bond.
How is your Instagram? Our Instagram is starting. We're getting there.
Well, see, this is where I did it out of order because I started Facebook and I'm like, well, not many people follow Facebook pages like they used to, I think. I could be wrong about that. But Instagram, it was the big thing for me because I love posting pictures, because especially for Batman or James Bond related, because the list goes on, you know, 24 James Bond movies to choose from, about six Batman live action movies to choose from, give or take. And, you know, then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going about this the wrong way. And I was listening to another podcast and he, you know, was saying on there, I'll give you guys the name. It's the Quadcast or Quadfather, something like that. And mainly, though, what he was saying is that, you know, Twitter is where it's at. And this guy's got like 34,000 followers and more than – and I mean, I'm a huge radio, old school radio fan, talk radio. So I had been looking for a podcast that I could really get into, be more passionate about. And that's kind of how I got into this. You know, I know I'm jumping ahead here with Craig's questions. FYI, Craig sent me 20 questions, and I'm like kind of probably reading through them right now.
That's fine.
But the big thing is Twitter, not so much Instagram. But I mean, I love Instagram. I'm on it every day.
Oh, cool.
But always some kind of fun post on there. So, yeah, I know that was a longer answer than you guys probably wanted, and I'm already short on time stealing it. Sorry.
Well, the one thing we have cornered the market on at Take Two Podcast is being long-winded. So you're fine. You're fitting right in with us right now.
So then what gave you the initial idea to do the Batman versus Bond leak? Obviously, we could tell from listening to it, and anybody else can, you obviously know what you're talking about, so the fable there.
Oh, well, that's like the Joker. It's just, you know, I'm an agent of chaos, you know, I can make things appear. No, I can't say I'm like the, I've never claimed to be somebody who knows everything about all the movies. I used to even say at the beginning of the show, I am not like a, you know, when it comes to this, like a professional, I don't know every little thing there is. No, there's lots of fans out there, like the uber nerd fans, the geeks out there, no offense to them at all, but there's some people that really, really know their stuff. And I just wanted something. I've read some of the comics, but I grew up on these movies. Batman 89 came out when I was in kindergarten. My first Bond film was GoldenEye, and was it 95, 96 when I actually watched it? So it was 96 when it was on something called HBO, when you used to get the movie of the week. And that's around the time of VHS for the kids out there. And I think I've become, and I've said this on the show, a bigger Bond fan than Batman fan. And, I tried a couple of different podcasts before, and this is, you know, I said if I was going to do this, I want to do it right, and I want to do something that characters that really mean a lot to me. And the more I thought about it, these two characters have a lot in common. People can say that James Bond is a superhero. We all know Batman is a superhero, and these guys, you know, no superhuman powers at all, which is something I truly love about these. Not something you can say about many superheroes out there. And they have a lot more in common than a lot of people would think about. And I love the movies. There's guilty pleasure movies out there. I was having a discussion with somebody about why Batman and Robin is still a guilty pleasure. Because if you take it as a comedy, then, you know, you can have more fun with it.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know,
that's the only way you can take that movie. So that's good.
Yeah. That end with booze.
Doing Arnold voice.
Cool party.
That is awesome. I am going to need you to do me a drop, you know, just, you know. But no, it's been, you know, it really came together. I've tried little different types of ideas, and it, you know, I realized that, you know, putting two things together like this, I'm sure it's been done before. And I'm even Google searching. I'm like, I really hope no one's out there doing this right now, or I'm not going to get like fined up the ass for using Batman or James Bond in my podcast name or in a logo. And, you know, I've found that, you know, a lot of fans feel the same way about these characters I do. It's not just about watching the movie. It's become, you know, these characters become part of our lives. People are influenced by style. That's something else I've found out about these characters. People like to imitate the styles of, obviously, Batman. I know I do. There's people like to imitate the styles, especially of James Bond, and not just the tuxedo, but just the clothing styles that they have in there. And, you know, I'm learning about these characters as I go, and I'm having a blast with it. I really am. So there's your long-winded answer.
We'll take it. So imitating Batman, what does your car look like?
Oh, it's the furthest thing from the Batmobile. I will admit that my first car, yes, it did come in black. A Plymouth Neon doesn't quite qualify as the Tumbler. It might not even qualify as
the tire. Make anything into the Batmobile, don't worry.
That's true. I mean, I have my Matchbox Batmobiles right in front of me right now qualify more as my Batmobiles than my current car does. And I like my car. It gets me from point A to B, but this would be like the beater that James Bond would find, you know, if he had no other car, like an Aston Martin.
I mean, because for me personally, I have a Scion XB box, which I've made into the Bat box, and it has Batman ribs and a Batman sticker on the front, and I eventually want to get it pinstriped like Batman.
That's nice.
Yes. Sounds really cool. You can make anything into a Batmobile, trust me.
That's true. I mean, I tried making my, you know, how they had those little play school cars, like the one with the yellow top, the red with the reddish orange, you know, that was my Batmobile at the time, and yeah, when I was younger. So, yeah, anything could be made into a Batmobile. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
And my car is similar to a Bond car because it has an ejector seat, but that's just because I haven't taken it in for a recall. So,
So I think in speaking about Batmobile and everything that you have, anyone that has followed you on Twitter, at least I know last week because it was the first I saw it when you posted your little pre-show prep video, you have an entire Batman suit that is creepily standing behind you, I'm assuming right now.
Well, how do I say this? It was there about probably 48 hours ago, maybe less than a week ago. Yes, it was there.
And now you're wearing it?
No, I'm not wearing it. No, even though I am dressed in all black right now almost. No, I'm wearing the Catwoman suit right now because it's much more comfortable, especially when just sitting here in it. You know, 80-degree room.
All right, let's just video podcast there.
I'll post it on the Instagram. Don't worry, guys. okay, what he's referring to is, yes, I did have a full Batman Begins cosplay suit. I really got into cosplay in, like, the last, I guess, 3 years. You guys are from the area, so you know Baltimore Comic-Con. Went to Comic-Con, had a blast there. I was wearing a shirt for the other team. And when I say the other team, the MCU. And, you know, I found my way back. And, you know, I just started kind of piecing it together. And I'm like, you know what? I think I really want to, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. So somehow, you know, my lovely wife let me, you know, spend more money than I ever should have on this suit. And I, you know, it finally got together in the last year. And, you know, the problem is, though, Michael Keaton and Christian Bale were completely correct. You can't turn your head. So I talked to Lucius Fox, and he's working on getting me a new Dark Knight suit as we speak.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the Batman Begins suit, actually, I just mailed probably the last part of it, the cowl, I just mailed that out. I did sell it on eBay. But I do have my new Dark Knight cowl. I still have my memory cloth material type of cape. But yeah, I'm starting back from scratch, and I hope I can have it ready for Awesome Con in the next month. It's going to be pushing it. If not, then James Bond it is. You know, it's easy to put on a suit and a bow tie.
Oh, we'll be there. We'll be at Awesome Con.
Sweet.
Not in the suit, though.
No, Tony was going to go as Pussy Galore.
Oh, you said Pussy Galore. I must be dreaming.
We were going to paint Craig all gold, but we ran out of paint. So,
right, yeah. I mean, you only got one half.
Oh, my God.
So I think, I mean, the obvious question I think we have to ask, and I'm sure you ask this all the time, and you're on Twitter or on your podcast, is who is your favorite Batman?
Today's choice will be Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Good choice. You can keep talking.
Just because, and I say this on the show, and fans understand this when you say the first, whether it be Batman or James Bond movie, the first time you see that the actor portraying that character, they end up being that character for you. You just always remember them as that. They might not be the best, but in your mind, you know, and who knows? But Michael Keaton will forever be Batman to me. He can go fight Spidey in this new Spider-Man Homecoming movie, which I will see. You know, I have nothing against Marvel movies at all. But when I see him in there, I'm like, it's Batman fighting Spider-Man. And I want Batman to win. I really do.
Of course.
And, you know, something about Batman 89 will just still be one of my favorite Batman movies. It's, you know, he didn't have to do, I know people give Christian Bale hell because he talked in the deep voice. Keaton played it so cool, and he's like, I'm Batman. And it's just something about that. It really is. And, you know, Batman Returns, I think, you know, I liked it. He added more to it, I think. And there were so many money shots. My favorite money shot from that is Batman and Batman Returns is just when he just, you know, Commissioner Gordon is, what are you waiting for? The signal. the cue signal at Wayne Manor. He's pondering his thoughts, probably thinking about how he's not getting laid by Vicky Vale anymore. And, you know, all of a sudden he sees the light come on in his study, and then he stands up and he's like, my people need me.
Right, and it shines through the whole study, yeah.
Exactly. You can only wonder where Alfred is right then and there. And, you know, it's just something about that. I just, you know, Keaton is, I don't know, he's a great actor too. And, you know, I think that, you know, whenever I show my kids, whenever that will be, a Batman movie, I think the first one will probably be Batman 89. It'll probably be pretty dark because it's a Tim Burton film, but I think the next one would probably be Christian Bale, but I liked his Batman performance better in Batman Begins, though, if we're really getting nerdy about this. Wow.
I totally agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. I think it's illegal in some states to not let your kids see the first one being 1989's. Like, really? If you're properly educating them, you have to show them the original, at least coming from our generation.
Well, I've tried showing my son this 1960s version. He's like, what is this? Like, what's with the pow, wham, what is all that? Just doesn't translate.
Yeah.
Give him time. It will.
The bomb on the dock scene is the best scene ever.
It really is. There's never a good place to put a bomb or something like that. Anyway, exactly. I watched that for the first time about 2 months ago. Yeah, that Batman movie, yeah, that's how long I had put it off. And I'm like, all right, wow. Well, I need to see this. And I went in with an open mind because, as you know, there's so many James Bond movies that kind of have that sense of humor also. So I'm like, okay, well, go in with the lowest of expectations. It's a Sunday morning at 8 a.m., you know, why not? You know, I'm half tired anyway. So, you know, I enjoyed it for what it was. I respect it. But when I think of Batman, when I say, you know, actual, you know, live action movies, I don't ignore it, but it's there. But
so, Craig, you said yours was Keaton, and Tony, yours is Keaton.
Oh, mine is definitely Keaton. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same reasoning. Like you said, you grew up with it. That was the first one for us, really. And, I mean, who doesn't always recite, you know, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Something about that is great, you know.
So then, do you think that the poor children who grew up, like, were born in mid-90s, and their first Batman was Clooney, is that who they always see as Batman? Because that's just depressing to me.
Yeah, Batman always has hard nipples.
Right.
It's possible. I mean, you know, if they're a fan of Batman, then I can't knock them for it. I mean, there's the saying out there that all film is subjective, and, you know, if you're a Batman fan, then of course, you know, why not? I mean, but just know that there are better adaptations of Batman movies out there. You know, even if Batman and Robin was ranked better than Batman v Superman on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm still scratching my head on that one.
I think that's because the Rotten Tomatoes goes off the theatrical release. I think if they did it off of the DVD Blu-ray release, it might get a much better score.
Oh, agreed. Definitely.
Especially since just recently it just broke the record for all-time Blu-ray sales.
Yes. Yes, it did.
I think that's just because that's a much better film than what they put out into the theaters, which is disappointing as a Batman and That Other Guy fan.
That Other Guy?
Yeah.
Good for nothing.
I'm trying to be good, Craig.
What's your opinion so far on the Batfleck?
I like Batfleck. You know, when it was before the podcast started, when it was announced that, you know, he was going to be Batman. And, you know, I was like, okay, makes sense because, you know, I always just, you always see him at the mirrors and he's always dressed in the tuxedo, always his hair slicked back. He's been with enough women, I mean, J-Lo, Jennifer Garner, whomever, and it's like, yeah, he's Bruce Wayne. I could definitely see that. And then you start seeing the pictures of him dressed as Batman. I'm like, okay, well, this works. I have nothing against Ben Affleck. He's had some good movies, and recently with him turning in, becoming a director, movies like, say, The Town in Argo, I loved. I really did.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, so, but I think as a director, he's better than an actor. I mean, sure. Just me. Anyway, but, you know, when I saw the trailers, I'm like, this could turn out to be something special. So, you know, it was his first run. I think he did well with it. And I think that, we're going to get to see him again in Justice League. Suicide Squad kind of counts because he only had a cameo in there, but you know, Justice League's still going to be not as much attention to Batman, but I like him. I think that, you know, if we could have only had the standalone Batman movies first. I always say that. We would have been really, I think that would have been better for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he plays a great Bruce Wayne, and that older version of Batman, I think he fits the role really well. So I like him. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it would have been interesting, especially when they were talking about him directing it as well. But, I mean, Matt Reeves is good. I mean, he did all those Planet of the Apes movies, and I enjoy most of those. So I imagine that this Batman will probably, as long as Ben Affleck doesn't keep going wishy-washy about whether he's doing it or not.
Yeah, Ben Affleck has had some, I don't want to say trouble, but he's had a few problems in this last year, unfortunately, you know, and that's getting tabloidy. It's, you know, it's, I don't talk much about it on my show, just, you know, because he had an alcohol abuse kind of issue, his marital issues also, and I think that really did take a toll on him deciding not to direct the movie. And I think that he was, when on the set of Batman v Superman and even Justice League, he's like, you know what, Snyder, you do, there's a lot more to your movies than what I do in my movies, and I don't think it's something I really want to do. I think it's too much work, or just, you know, it's not that I can't do it, it's that I'd rather stick to smaller things.
Yeah. That's probably the better decision, I think. All right, Craig, have we covered all your Batman questions?
I think villain. We've covered all of Batman that I can, you know, I'll put my pants back on.
Favorite villain, maybe?
Favorite Batman villain?
Yeah.
Both Jokers, Jack, and Heath Ledger's Joker. Those would be my two favorites.
Nicholson I'd put above, but I think it's similar to what you were saying. It's just, you know, who you grew up with, who you remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll always be the Joker for me, but I will admit that Heath Ledger was good. I think Jared Leto was just weird.
Yeah, Jared Leto. Yeah, I was watching the movie, it's Dallas Buyers Club, last night, and Jared Leto put on a hell of a performance in that movie. But when he went to Suicide Squad, maybe it's because how it was written, or maybe it's just because those shoes that he felt like he had to fill in for Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger. It's like, how do I outdo these guys? And he just kind of went the Hot Topic Joker, as some of my friends have said, or as online have said. And I really see it. He just went, just some of his quotes in there. He's like, this hunka hunka. And I'm like, okay, dude, tone it down a little bit. And, you know, he was more of a, I don't know, kind of a jokey character, if that makes sense. He was, I don't know, it was more, maybe he would have fit better in the Schumacher films in a way. I don't know. Yeah. But I'd like to see him again, give it another try in a darker, you know, Suicide Squad. You know, that's another topic for another day. But
sure.
Yeah, Heath Ledger's Joker versus Jack Nicholson's Joker. I really don't want to have to pick one. You know, maybe that'll be at the next tournament in the fall. Teaser there.
Oh, yeah, so tell us about this tournament.
So, yeah, speaking of tournaments, you have your Wonder Women tournament?
Yes. It's just another way for me to kill time at work. No, I'm kidding. this is a tournament of – it started off – I tried to put something together last year, but it was when the show – it was in the incarnation of the show. There was not enough time to get everything together. I tried, oh, well, March Madness, and I was only not even a month into the show, and I'm like, let me – get things straightened out. So I tried a Batman versus James Bond movie tournament for March Madness. I got a lot of good feedback about it. So I'm like, well, Wonder Woman's coming out in June 2nd. And, you know, instead of me just talking about all the 60 Bond and Batman girls, why don't I, you know, let the listeners and the social media sphere decide on this. And, you know, I'm going into my third week one or round one. You know, Twitter polls are always fun because you never know what the kind of comments that you're going to get in there. And I got to tell you, there's been a lot of shocking results. Ones that I would have thought would have, you know, won, they haven't. The only one sure thing that has definitely won is Harley Quinn. And I knew that she, for example, Harley Quinn went up against, it was chosen at random, all these matches. And this is going to be going on from May to June, or to the end of June. And when I did this at random. I'm like, wait a minute, if I'm going to do this, I just want to make sure that I have who I consider to be the top tier. Like, say, if you guys know who Ursula Andress is from Dr. No, one of the iconic Bond girls in the white bikini.
Sure.
You have to have Selena Kyle's, Michelle Pfeiffer's Selena Kyle Catwoman at the top there. I mean, that's just an automatic to round two. But Harley Quinn, I wasn't able to get in there, and because I knew that she was kind of new, and you know, the the listeners are and the online people are choosing, and they are full of surprises, let me say.
No, I agree, because as I go on and vote in these Twitter polls, you know, you click on your choice, and then you see where the votes are at that point. And there have been already multiple ones where I click on my choice, and then I want to throw my phone based on what's winning at the moment that I've chosen.
Yeah.
Exana on a top, and she's not winning, you know, even though I feel she is the epitome Bond girl that I want to have on there, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she always did enjoy a good squeeze, absolutely.
Now, real quick, who won the best movie poll?
Yeah, I think it ended up being The Dark Knight. Yeah.
I could see.
I'm sorry. I'm so caught up in this Wonder Woman thing right now because I'm just trying to. I'm almost having to plan out a schedule each week. Okay, I have to post this one at this time. I have to post this one so I can fit in everything as I want to. I'm having a lot of fun with it. If it becomes a chore, then I'm not going to do it at all. But it hasn't become a chore at all. So okay. I'll keep on doing it as long as people are voting. Yep. And voted Batman versus Bond on Twitter.
Beautiful.
Nice.
So your favorite Bond?
This is where I get really nerdy because I'd have to break it down to the actor. I will say it's going to be between GoldenEye, Casino Royale, and Skyfall.
Okay.
I could see that. I would definitely, you know, I think I personally would pick GoldenEye because, I mean, I think there's so many good things in that movie. And I think, you know, because in between... Before GoldenEye, there was, what, like an seven or eight year span where there was no Bond before brought it back? Yeah.
Yeah, history is repeating itself almost right now as we speak, with the distribution rights of James Bond. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But, between 1989's License to Kill and then to GoldenEye, it was such a long time. But GoldenEye was worth the wait. And I was too young probably to watch James Bond because at that time, License to Kill show was PG-13. That's a very dark movie. That's as dark as a Tim Burton Batman film. But before, Bond movies were rated PG. And, I mean, the stuff in there, I mean, Sean Connery didn't I'm going to act like I'm hopping into bed. He would hop into bed with the beautiful Bond girl. And they try to imply it as much as they could, and there's possibly some nudity in there, but still, besides the point, it's a very more adult type of movie than for a little kid, and that's probably why my dad didn't let me watch his Sean Connery James Bond movies until I was a certain age. And even GoldenEye, Xenia Onatopp, she's a that girl, man. I think I'm gonna have to go watch GoldenEye tonight. Now I think about it.
Exactly, yes.
I'm taking Casino Royale myself. Hard choice, though. You guys are right. That's a hard choice. Tony, what do you think?
I agree with Casino Royale. I think it brought it back. It gave it that new feel to it and for a new generation. It was a great, great movie. I remember seeing it in the theater and loving it, and I thought Daniel Craig was good. And I was kind of skeptical going into it. I didn't think he was going to be that good, and he was. So
I think that's a big reason I liked it extra, because so many folks were against it. You know, blue eyes, blonde hair, we don't want this. And then he was great. More than great, and I think
not my Bond is what they were saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. I will probably say that one of the reasons that GoldenEye still has a soft spot in my heart is the hours and hours of playing the GoldenEye video game.
There you go.
That I probably spent.
Was that N64?
N64, yep. Yeah. I mean, I remember going over my friend Sebastian's house, and we would literally play that game from the minute school ended till 8 o'clock. 8:30 before I was forced to go home and hang out with my own family.
Shout out to Sebastian. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thanks, Sebastian.
Oh, paintball mode. I remember when I achieved that with my friends. I was like, I'm the greatest thing right now. And then came Game Shark, and I'm like, damn you, Game Shark. But you could get big head mode, and you could have slappers only, and all the Moonraker lasers, and yeah. And I can't wait to break out my 64. I just have to find the cables that go to a good TV again, or old TV.
That's going
to
be the problem, exactly.
Yeah.
See, my guilty pleasure when it comes to Bond is Live and Let Die. I love that one. And I for whatever reason, I love Roger Moore as Bond. Mm-hmm. I know he's not the most popular choice, but that movie, I love like the blaxploitation of it. Like, it's a totally different movie when it comes to Bond movies, and I just think it's great. Jane Seymour and all that. Oh,
yeah, Jane Seymour. That was like one of her first movies. That and Sheriff J.W. Pepper. And, you know, even yesterday, I'm like quoting to my dad. He's talking in like a country accent. I'm like, what are you, some kind of doomsday machine, boy? And it's just something about it, the humor. It's obviously a lot more humor. The times, that's something especially about a James Bond movie that you see these movies, you watch these movies, you know, whether the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, GoldenEye era, even to now, and it's a different generation. And what's so funny is GoldenEye and Casino Royale were from the same director, but they seem like way two different movies in a way.
I think I caught Tomorrow Never Dies recently on TV, and I was like, this is so dated. Like, the technology is, you know, it's almost hard to watch now because the technology is so dated.
Right, right.
Yeah. Not in like a cool nostalgic way, just bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just passed away, didn't he? That actor that played Sheriff?
Yes. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head. I can't remember. I'm sorry. But yes, he passed away a couple weeks ago. But yeah, he's just one of those characters that the Bond fans love and a lot of people love. And I think that character was a lot of other movie characters were based off that character. Like, say, I'm going way back here. Smokey and the Bandit, Jackie Gleason's Sheriff Buford E. Justice. I think that movie was really based, that character was based off him in a way, and just kind of like a Dukes of Hazzard also in a way. So yeah.
Clifton James.
Thank you. Yep. Clifton James.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Tony was going to pull it in a second.
I did. He died from the diabetes. Check it often.
All right, so how about Bond villain? Who's your favorite Bond villain?
Alec Trevelyan, 006. I know I keep going back to GoldenEye here, but GoldenEye, I have this saying that, you know, when GoldenEye is on TV, no matter, you know, if I own it on Blu-ray, if I own it on HD copy, everything stops. And, you know, something about, you know, Sean Bean's performance. Yeah, I know he dies in every single movie. Spoiler alert there. But, you know, his performance in there is so good. And the fact that he was almost James Bond, and, you know, that's really cool, too.
We saw Lord of the Rings, and he came on the screen the first time. My brother in the theater yelled out, oh, 006!
Yep.
For the whole theater. That was nice.
Yep. Yeah, but there's a lot of good Bond villains out there. More recently, Xavier Bardem playing Mr. Sova. That's a good one. Watching Goldfinger. Oh, sorry.
I like Mads Mikkelsen. Lachief.
Lachief is really good. Yeah.
He was good. Yeah. That was the one where he's banging on his balls on the chair.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yes. I'm going to tell everyone that you died itching my balls, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. And watching him in Rogue One, I'm like, it's Lachief. I can't picture him but not being Lachief. You know? It's like, go scratch the Emperor's balls, man. I dare you.
Okay, what about a Bond song? There's so many great Bond theme songs.
Well, it's The Spy Who Loved Me by Carly Simon. That was actually my, you know, getting all sappy here, that was my first dance song at my wedding last year.
Oh, okay.
How did you talk your wife into that?
Just how I talked her into, like, as you're introduced to when you're going into the reception, I talked her in, hey, honey, can we come out to the James Bond theme song? And somehow, some way, she let it happen. I'll have to post it. But, you know, and my friends, when I see the videos, they're all laughing. They're like, of course he would do that, you know. You know, but that was our first dance song. That's just, I think that song holds up so well, and it just, it's not just because of from the movie, but it just describes the Bond character in a way also. Tadell's Skyfall, that's another favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney and the Wings, Live and Let Die, that's a really catchy song. It's such a different Bond theme song, but Duran Duran, A View to a Kill, while the movie's not the best. That was probably my first favorite James Bond theme.
Very cool. You covered mine. I mean, I'd say the same thing, Adele and Live and Let Die.
Now I'm going to just be listening to James Bond songs while I play GoldenEye all night tonight.
What is your wife getting on all these deals? Because she let you buy the expensive bat suit and then the songs for the wedding.
She's a makeup connoisseur. You know, so she, you know, when I see her buying all the makeup, like we got 5 packages delivered today, I'm like, oh, so you get 5 packages delivered and you're going to give me hell about ordering my next bat suit. I see how it is. That's okay. Wait till payday, honey. Don't you worry. But, you know, I said, okay, well, you're going to start coming to Comic Cons with me now. I dragged her to a Comic Con before, but she's actually coming to, we just bought the tickets for New York Comic Con. I'm trying to talk her into dressing up as Wonder Woman again. I said, I think, you know, she's brunette. I think she can pull it off, you know, not, and you don't have to be brunette to play Wonder Woman, but I think that she would get a kick out of it too. So.
It's topical now. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, best time
yeah,
for it.
It does, because that movie is right around the corner, and I hope it performs well. Really.
Yeah. So, obviously, you have this tournament going on all the way, you said, through the end of June. What other things you got going on, you think, in the future of Batman vs. Bond podcast? I see you're part of the BS Podcast Network, so...
That is correct, yep. There's some great guys over there. The BS Podcast Network, it's a really great network. BSPodcastNetwork.com. There you go. Quick plug. My plans are, I was looking, like I said, I try to plan a schedule for my show, and I'm looking, and as soon as June hits, it's going to be, there's a lot of reviews coming out. I decided I wanted to do a Wonder Woman review, because if Batman's going to have the cameo that I understand that he is supposed to me that kind of falls into that Batman territory that I was like, oh, well, I can put that on there as a review. Why not? Because it's topical. There's a lot of anniversaries for some movies, such as The Spy Who Loved Me, The Dark Knight Rises. There'll be another tournament definitely in the fall. I like having people on the show, which you guys will be on the show also. And I always like talking with other fans, because it's always interesting to me to see, you know, what their favorite Bond or Batman movie is and why. Because, you know, as long as you're a fan, I'm your best friend. Absolutely. If you're an MCU fan, no way. No, I'm kidding. But at the same time, it's just that we all come from different generations. I've talked to younger Bond and Batman fans. I've talked to older ones. But we all have something in common. It's something about those characters that I enjoy. You know, I'm trying to do a favorite non-Bond and non-Batman movies. And all I will say is American Psycho would definitely come into play on that one.
Oh, okay.
And Mrs.
Teaser.
Wow. Well, obviously, Starfire, of course.
Yeah. Why not?
Those movies are very similar. Very similar.
Absolutely.
Very.
All right, before we wrap up here, speaking of going forward, though, with Bond 25, personally, I want Craig to do one more and knock out Bond 25 before he finishes being James Bond. I'd like to see him do one last hurrah, announce that. How about yourself?
I'd like to see Craig come back one more time, but, you know, with everything that's in the news right now, how we just talked about License to Kill, with how Timothy Dalton was supposed to come back, and then just the distribution rights and everything that was going on. I don't think he's going to come back, and it's not going to be his fault. It's just going to be the studio's fault, because the time to get a script together, the distribution rights, and finding a director and all that stuff. It's not as easy, and especially when it comes to a Bond movie, because unfortunately Spectre wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be. It wasn't, because of Craig. It was just that, there's a whole bunch of things, like, say, Skyfall was just that good, in my opinion. But, if times are always changing, Bond will always return, so I have no doubt about that. It's just a question of when he will return. I always have a bet with myself that I say on the show that, honestly, I think we're going to get a new Bond movie before we will get a standalone Batman movie. And I'm starting to lose that bet, because now they have Matt Reeves lined up for Batman. So now they just got to get a script there. But hey, as long as the next Bond movie ends up being really good and not another Diamonds Are Forever, then I'll be fine.
With Nolan getting involved with his production company, I think it would be awesome to bring Tom Hardy in and be Bond.
Oh, that would be beautiful. Yeah.
But that's just my dream.
Yeah, Hardy said, I think it was more in the last couple of months, that he said that the only way he would become, or he would be willing to do a James Bond movie, is if Nolan was there. And, well, if you look at how many movies they've done together, then, watching Inception over the weekend, I'm like, oh, he would knock it out of the park. He really would.
What do you think about the Charlie Hunnam rumors?
What?
Did you read that online, that there was talk about Charlie Hunnam from King Arthur possibly being, like, maybe in the running for the next Bond?
Yeah, I did. I was just playing stupid. I'm sorry. I do that so well. Honestly, no. I mean, the only movie I've seen of his was Pacific Rim. And I enjoyed it, but I didn't like his performance. And I know I'm only judging it off one performance, but then again, I saw Daniel Craig in the original Tomb Raider movie, and I had no idea who he was, and now he's one of my favorite James Bonds. So, you know, it could happen, but, I mean, I don't think it is going to, especially after what just happened with his last couple movies. So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this drop in King Arthur, I think, definitely drops its stock in general.
All right,
yeah.
Brian. Well, thanks for coming on. You have a wealth of knowledge about Batman and Bond, for sure. Like Brian said, I thought I knew some stuff, but you definitely know your stuff. So if you guys like listening to Brian, go check out his show, Batman vs. Bond. You can find him on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Give him a download, give him a listen, give him a like, give him a follow.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. I had a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, take care.
Why so serious?